Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. You know, many times I am asked to be a guest speaker, you know, schools, Green Fest, all this. And yeah, I charge money because, you know, that's the American way. But when I get a call from the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts of America, it's free because I realize that these young folks are our next great outdoorsmen or the people who will eventually protect and preserve the habitats we need for our future generations. So I am asked this winter to speak to two scout troops, and I just thought I was going to go through my notes with you. But by the way, you're going to see that what I speak about has a lot to do with how we personally, as adults, treat society. So don't just turn this show off and go, well, I don't need it because it's for kids. Well, I'm going to let you know that. Listen to the first few minutes, and you may find that there's an importance to you as well. So I think it's important that we make a difference for all the world to see. And it doesn't matter whether you are a child, because guess what? We can learn from them as well, or you're an adult. So the first thing always when we are in the outdoors, safety, always. And you need to be a role model. So let's talk role models and a few safety items. I am near water so many times. Your PFD, your personal flotation device, and for those of you older folks, you might just call it a life vest. Well, your PFD should be on all the time. And you know what? Most laws in most states say that your PFD doesn't have to be on you. It just only has to be in the watercraft, your boat, your canoe, your kayak. And it doesn't make sense because the number one person who drowns, and I've said this often, in a boating accident happens to be a swimmer. They don't have their PFD on. Very important. Attached to that PFD, I have a whistle. And the whistle is for, hey, if you're in trouble or your family group's in trouble, you're going to run out of breath calling for help. But you're not going to run out of blowing that whistle loud. And by the way, these are the whistles made for, and I use a plastic one, so the metal ones rust and all that. On my safety list, I have first aid gears. I have it in my truck. I have a backpack that I pull out of the truck when we go to film somewhere, Joey B TV. We're out in the middle of nowhere, USA. And it's not just a regular first aid kit, and this is for you all to hear. You need to add extra things in. One of the things that I will share with these young children is my bee, spider, and snake bite kit. It's a small little kit, but hey, the probability of someone getting bit or stung by one of these critters is pretty high when you're out in the wild pretty often. So that's added into there's a few other things I added into it, but that's a key one that's there. And bike helmets. Now, go back to what I just said before about being a role model. You don't know how many times Gabby and I will be biking with our helmets on, and we're on a trail somewhere, and we will see all the children with their helmets on and two parents biking along with them, and neither of them have their helmets. So what they're telling their children is, you have to have one on when you're a kid, but you don't need to wear one when you're an adult because I guess your head gets, your cranium gets thicker, harder. I don't know. Well, that's not being a good role model. One of the other things with the scouts, but think about, you know, us as adults, is leave no trace. Well, when I was in Montana doing my grizzly bear research, we were in critical grizzly bear habitat. And I am letting you know that we were going to a place that we were going to be on some game trails. And if we deemed that it was critical grizzly bear habitat, these trails would be closed to hikers, maybe even forever, because this is what they needed to survive. So with that being said, when we were up there, again, we are in pristine areas. And I'll say this here, and I won't say it with the scouts. Even when we went to go to Le Poupou, we actually had to dig a hole, business, and then toilet paper inside there. And we actually had to light a match and burn the toilet paper to get it to biodegrade back down, obviously cut a hole and all that. So there are places where it is, and I say leave no trace, it is leave no trace. So going along with that is what you pack in is what you pack out. And I am letting you know, and again, for those of you that specifically are hikers, you know this. You're along a trail, and people are just, and I don't get it. Like, why are you there? They're just leaving trash out there on the trail. So you know they're hikers, and it doesn't make sense. So I'm going to tell you that it is worthwhile to bring an extra garbage bag. I just call them G-bags. And it's worth it just to take one with you because, yes, you will find garbage along the trail, just about everywhere. Campsites you go to. Hey, this is me personally, pet peeve. It just hurts a bit to see this. You know, one time I was kayaking with a friend. We got into a lake, and the currents were, wind currents are blowing one direction really hard. And where we were putting in, there was trash all along. These are things that people were just throwing in the lake and floated down to this one corner. Literally, it was disgusting. It took us probably about an hour or so to think about this. Our day started with picking up someone else's garbage. Can't happen. So this is something we want to impress upon the children. But guess what? We need to impress this because I'm sure that wasn't just children throwing all that trash in here. Adults as well. Well, how about being considerate to all humans and animals? You know what? How about helping a friend, helping a senior? It's snowing up here. Just snowed 2 days ago. Not much. We got about 4 inches or so. And finding that senior, being considerate to them, finding a new colleague, if you're a child, finding a new student and helping them out. Hey, simply saying, hey, let me show you to the dining room, or let me show you, see, food and me, we go together. But just like doing things that you can help them out. Well, how about you're hiking along the trail, and we do this often. You know, you're going up the AT or wherever you are in the Rockies, and you're hiking along, and another group is coming the other way, and just moving off the trail and allowing them to pass by, being considerate. How about being quiet near birders? Many times you'll see birding groups somewhere, just a person or two birding, and you're hiking by, and they're looking at some specific bird. And, you know, all of a sudden you have noises, and the bird's gone. Well, it may have been their one opportunity that day just to see that bird. So I'm going to say, hey, let's be considerate of birders. Hey, and I'm a birder too, so I really understand that one. And let's respect wildlife. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's the deer who's been in my backyard most of the winter or, you know, the baby groundhogs. I'll give you a real cool example. I'm in historic home, 100-year-old home. Moved in, it's probably close to 21 years now. And when I first moved in, there was the groundhog family. And they were right next burrow, right next to my home. And the mother would come out somewhere around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, come out, check things out. As soon as things were okay, up would pop 3 babies. And they would head right to my front lawn, huge lawn, and I had lots of clover in it. And they would just go, again, very selective, which is pretty neat. I've done bite counts with steer and sheep out west doing some other research, or I had college students doing it for me. Well, they were very selective, and they just loved clover. And I got to the point where I needed to cut my grass. But every day that I need to cut the grass, you know, once a week, what I would do is I would let the groundhogs come out first. I would let them eat the clover, and then I'd cut the grass. So it's like, it sounds silly, but I was like being considerate of wildlife. And it doesn't matter whether you're hiking along a trail somewhere or you're, you know, on your own property. And here's another thing, being considerate, and this is just me. I mean, I have a passion for fly fishing, just love. Well, you know, fly fishing just gets me into the outdoors, but I am a catch and release guy. And to me, that's being considerate because the way I look at life is I'm going to release you and let you grow up and go have some babies. And then one day, maybe I'll catch your babies and release them too. So just a little piece of that. We also need to become conservation-minded, helping nature. The example I will give our youth is moved into this home. When I first moved here, no exaggeration, a 150-year-old oak came down and crushed my house. I used to say I had a drive-through. And as we were rebuilding it, that tree that came down, this huge oak, had 3 bats in it. And they're little brown bats. And people don't realize this, but a little brown bat. And I would always give this example. Do you want mosquitoes in your backyard or a bat? And people are like, I'd rather have mosquitoes. Well, a little brown bat on average will eat about 1 million mosquitoes a night. I had three bats eating about 3 million mosquitoes. Hey, that's a good deal. I want the bats. So tree is gone. So I built a bat house. Well, I also have a bat house when I travel in groups and things, speaking classrooms, assemblies, etc. And I had my friend Chrissy, she painted the Batman symbol on the bat house. So I bring that in there to show them what a bat house looks like. Well, that's being conservation minded. Well, if you're putting up bird feeders, you know what? You may be putting up the bird feeders for you so that you can use your binos and get a good look, camera and all that. But I'm also going to let you know that, especially in harsh climates where food is scarce, putting up those feeders, and it's a great way. Hey, if you're with children or an adult, maybe you want to get into birding. It's a great way to learn the bird species because they're coming. You know, my front feeder is about 10 feet from my, I have a little foyer there, front door, at 10 feet from it. And I get some of the greatest photographs in there because, I mean, me and my camera, we are, I don't know, inseparable, good word. So I share that with you. So that's also a great thing. And you know what? I am an environmental scientist. Most of you know that. I am a filmmaker, documentaries. You know, we got Joey B TV, Joey B's Outdoor Adventure, besides the podcast shows. And I am out in the wild, and I am doing my wolf research out there in Minnesota, and we're tracking about the summer movements of how they move. Well, as an environmental scientist, the knowledge gained, because we have so much knowledge about how wolves move in the wintertime, and I can get in. You can actually listen to my podcast show all about that, but not now, because you need to listen to this show. Well, so that's a piece of the puzzle. Or if I'm out doing my grizzly bear research, you know, talking about protecting and preserving habitats, which happens to be your home, that's an important thing. So I share those things with you, and that's how you can become conservation-minded. And there are so many different groups that you can join that do the same thing. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So when I was growing up, when I was a wee little Joey B lad, the scout motto was be prepared. And you know, it's funny when I go speak, and it's funny that I want to make sure, and I will bring this up because I have two scout groups that I'm off to speaking, one this coming Friday, and then one, I guess, about 2 weeks from then. And I want to see if their motto has changed. Is it still be prepared? Well, being prepared, having that checklist. So for all of you adults out there, when you're going to go backpacking, and you don't want to be, and I really mean this, you don't want to be in the middle of nowhere. You say it's a great 3-day weekend. You and your friends, you and your family are out there. And you go, well, who's got the, and you go, no, we left the, whatever it was, the camp stove. We left the backpack and stove. So I'm going to tell you that that checklist becomes super important. And being organized becomes super important because you may have a checklist thinking that Joey B is taking the blank. Well, guess what? You better make sure he's got it. So go over that checklist. And if you're going with a group, go over with them as well. And first aid, you know, Red Cross offers these courses for free and CPR for free. Hey, get your family, your friends with CPR. They say the number one person that you will perform CPR in your life happens to be a family member. So right away, it's worth it. So I'm going to let you know that. You know, you go back to that checklist. I was out doing the grizzly bear research I mentioned. We're in the top of the Rockies in the middle of nowhere. And we really didn't see much rain for a spell. And all of a sudden, it started to come down. And I could share great stories about that. And one of the scientists, he forgot his rain gear. So what did he do? Garbage bag, and I'm sure many of you have done this, you punch three holes in it, head, arms, and he's wearing a garbage bag in a typhoon. Let me tell you, my rain gear felt good on me, my pants and my top, so I'm going to share. That's why we need to have that checklist and be organized. Well, stay on the trail. Let's have a softer footprint on the earth. You may have heard this many times, but it's true. Take only photographs, leave only footprints. And me personally, because my camera goes everywhere with us, you know, sometimes, again, we have the huge TV cameras, and then we have smaller, you know, we'll call them TV cameras that are scaled down that we can load in kayaks, that we can carry up mountaintops and all that. And I'm going to let you know that It is just being considerate of nature. It's just staying on that trail. Also, it is illegal. Many people don't know this. It is illegal to, and I'll just say for now, pick a flower. The law is pilfering. You may not take from nature. You can't even take a rock. You're going, what's the big deal? Well, people in Yellowstone were taking a rock and taking a rock. Well, if everyone, and there's millions of people, take, oh, this is a little souvenir. No, no, it's part of nature. You need to leave it there. You know, that's why my camera takes pictures of those beautiful flowers. And, you know, if you tweet, you know, follow me on Twitter, at Joey B, J-O-E-Y-B-E, outdoors. And you could see I put a photo a day of wherever we're filming somewhere, wherever I'm traveling to, whatever it is. But it's a cool shot of nature. And staying on the trail, well, in the wintertime, we are on snowshoes. And I'm going to tell you right now, you get out on a trail in snowshoes, and it is one of the most peaceful. It's a great workout, too, but one of the most peaceful things to do. And you should also know that if you're renting snowshoes, there are different sizes for youth, for women, for men. It happens to deal with our body width and our strides. So that's something, again, if you're looking to purchase those, that's something also. Now, you, especially with California, with all the fires that we have been seeing, specifically out west, and all the destruction that fires do. So here we go. You're going out for a backpack, a camping overnight. You may even have a live out in countryside. You're going to have a little fire in your backyard. How about fires are only in the fire rings and is only enough for either to stay warm, to cook dinner, or make s'mores. So it's one of these, but I'm going to let you know that the importance to this is not, and again, you see people making these big bonfires. It's like, that's not what we need. And I'm also going to let you know that, and learn from someone, it is important to learn how to construct the fire and keep a safe fire. We have a fire pit in the backyard, and I actually have a 5-gallon bucket. Hey, in the wintertime, you know, we also have fires out there. If you haven't done this, it is one of the greatest things in the world. Get a warm fire going before everyone else gets out there. You need to man up or woman up, whoever the first person is, to construct the safe fire out there. Get the fire going, and then invite the people out there. And that 5-gallon bucket, even though there's snow on the ground and I can throw snow on the fire, but I actually bring out a 5-gallon bucket of water because my hoses are turned off wintertime outside. But I still bring the water from inside to outside. But in the summertime, I have a spigot right next to it. But it's not just a spigot. The bucket is filled before I start the fire. And again, this gets back to making sure that you're having safe fires. Camping only in approved sites. You need to be, and this goes back to being conservation-minded. Thinking about the earth. You're on the AT. That's what I grew up backpacking on, camping on with Dr. Bob, family and friends. And I'm going to let you know that there are specific places. You look at the map and it tells you exactly where you should be camping. And these are only on durable surfaces. And that's why they select specific places for you to camp. Now, going back to that scientist where I told you we hit a storm and he had the garbage bag. Well, I'm going to let you know that we were in a storm for it raged, I'd say, easy 36 hours. And I'm saying we're in the top of the Rockies. We're above tree line. It is crazy raining. You know, my waterproof tent after probably 24 hours was not waterproof anymore. It's almost like my Ensolite pad, the blow-up mattress that goes below, the self-inflating one, my sleeping bag. You're just sitting there in sog. And some people, and they've said to me, oh, that must have been the worst experience in your life. And I'm going, again, I'm an environmental scientist. I love being in the outdoors. I'm in the middle of nowhere tracking grizzly bear. And to me, it's like, did I want to be wet and cold at that moment? No, I'll be honest. But I would never trade that experience for anything. So I'm going to let you know that that was an approved place for us to be. So that's where things were. And I'm also going to just throw into that, make sure that you have a water filter wherever you go, because you just can't drink water. because water in America, just about all of it, even in pristine areas, because ungulates, hooved animals, carry Giardia, a bacteria, in their hooves from stream to stream, stream, and so on. And if you drink some of that water, you will get les poupous. So they make very inexpensive water filters. And now one of the companies, I just give you a brand, I don't get any money from them, Life Straw. And they have Life Straw water bottles. So you just pour, literally scoop up in a water bottle, you scoop it up. And while you're sipping on it, it's going through the Life Straw and it filters the water drinking. And they even have a straw. I have one of these that you can go right to a stream, put the straw in the stream and drink. And so I share that with you. And here's the next deal. How about all of us, young adults, we learn more? All of your environmental centers in most states have many of them throughout your state. And you can go there for wintertime activities, spring, summer, fall, and learn so much. I was just looking at, it's still wintertime, looking at some sugar maple-ing ones that I can grab Gab and go, so we can go visit, so she can learn a little bit about it. So there are so many different things where we can become, well, I'd say better educated, because, hey, when we learn more, we in turn can teach more. And when we learn more, it helps us to become better stewards of the earth so that we can protect and preserve more. So I always say this, you know, you're out in nature and viewing nature is free. And as a matter of fact, that was last week's title of last week's podcast show, because it is, and you need to get out there, but get out there in a safe way. You know, Earth Day is coming up, and I was working with Coach Gorski at a track event one time, and I'm like, and I really didn't want to be there, but hey, he was paying me a couple bucks to be there. And a couple shot putters were warming up, two female shot putters, high schoolers, and they were talking to each other, and it happened to be Earth Day. And one of them said this, and I go, in my mind, I go, this is the coolest comment. Now, this is coming from a high schooler. She says, why can't every day be Earth Day? Well, it can, because you can take care of the earth in your part of the world. Because one person, one group can make a difference. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.